let's have prayer, and then we'll look into Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we pray that you would quieten our hearts. And like Moses at the bush, so joyfully frightened, he pulled his shoes off. And as we come now to the burning bush again, we pray your blessing, that true blessing of God that will still be blessing 10 years from now and still be lifting up the fallen and enlightening the saved. Lord, we're so weary with short shots. We all need something for the long run. And so now, this is your service. Just brush out of here any mean thoughts, anything contrary to your good plan for this occasion. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Can you look there with your eyes? If not, then maybe you can listen with your ears. All right? Hebrews 11. I'm going to do a bit of a hop, skip, and jump reading here this morning. Verse 1. Now faith is.
Verse 4. By faith. Offered.
Verse 5, by faith Enoch walked. 7, by faith Noah built. 8, by faith Abraham went out. 11, through faith. Not by, through. Sarah had to wait 12 years. Through faith, Sarah conceived. Couple of more. 20, by faith Isaac blessed. 21, by faith Jacob leaned on his staff. 23, by faith, Joseph died, speaking of God. Couple of more. 23, by faith, Moses' parents knew that baby was different. 24, by faith, Moses refused. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, what will you leave behind? We live, we work, we die, and our memories are left behind. This 11th chapter of Hebrews, 40 verses, it actually has its start back at the end of chapter 10, where the writer quotes from the Old Testament, "The just shall live by faith." And then he takes his cue from that statement made 700 years prior by Habakkuk, whatever we call him over here. and he moves forward into chapter 11. And in chapter 11, it's as though the writer was thinking about the memories of some who had already gone on. All of these had lived, worked, died, and left behind. Hebrews 11 strikes us differently from most of the chapters of the Bible because it starts with one of the first humans ever born, Abel. It mentions 17 people by name, 15 men, two women. One woman is a Jewess, the other a Gentile. Sarah, Rahab. And then after these 17 persons, there are thousands, not mentioned by name, but by deeds and chosen actions in the remainder of the chapter. In other words, Hebrews 11, starting with Abel, name first. The last name, David, is Samuel, 3,000 years later. From Abel to Samuel, 3,000 years, 17 chosen names, and all of them left something behind. And what they left behind, though dead thousands of years, still lived in the memory of the living. Let's take a peek at just a couple of them. It starts off, "Now faith is." And then it begins to illustrate in verse 4, "By faith Abel." Remember, that's the son of the man and woman without a navel. I'm serious. That's the son of the man and woman who had no father and mother, aunties or uncles or grandparents or nephews or cousins or nieces. Abel is the son of Adam and Eve. And it says that first selected boy by faith, Abel, wanted to leave something behind. And Abel offered unto God a sacrifice. Now, I'm not getting into all that. The first select boy born in the human race knew that he'd leave memories behind. And he said, "The thing I'm going to do is bring a sacrifice to God." And most of you know it as well as I do. The Bible says, though he was dead, and when the writer wrote this, he's still talking. You know, there are a number of men who still talk from the grave. Adolf Hitler still speaks from the grave. When the skinheads bomb the synagogues and curse the Jews and wear the occult swastika. Paul Rosenstein still rules from the grave as we see the government bending toward Marxist socialism. Karl Marx still rules from the grave. These men left something behind. Abel said, "I'm going to bring a sacrifice to God." And isn't it strange? The blood of that sacrifice, this book says later, is still speaking. Abel offered. What have you offered? Young people, what are you offering? All you'll skid through on a Sunday morning come Wednesday night to pray, the FBI couldn't find you. And it's acceptable. Oh, I'm right with God. Everything's going to be okay. And you can out-curse a drunken New Orleans sailor when things don't go your way. What are you offering? See this old missionary sitting in a wheelchair. In October 1961, in a church we'd built in Tennessee, we'd just closed a 2 weeks meeting. I'm not swearing, I'm telling the truth. We'd just closed a 2 weeks meeting. You know, David, back when the road covered wagons, mules. On Friday night, I took Mom and the two children home. And I said, Mom, I'm going back to the church and spend the night in prayer. About 4:30 that morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you go to Australia. Now here we are at the end of the road. The last time I was here, two, three young men helped me stand. No standing anymore. Whatever we say or they say, Mom and I look back on a good life for God. Abel offered. Enoch walked. Explain Enoch's walk with God. I can't explain it. It says it, that's it. I don't spiritualize it or reinterpret it or check it out by Dr. Bologna's new translation. I just believe it. Enoch walked with God. Look at the next one. Verse 7. Noah builded, warned of God of a flood. Some of you have had 1,001 warnings about hell where you're going. 1,001. Some of you who would swear on a stack of Bibles 4.5 foot high that you were saved back there and you know the time and the splice or place, you know all about it. And yet your life doesn't reflect it. Noah was warned of God. How many times has this man stood here and warned some of you who've mustered enough to come and say goodbye? Over and over and over. He's warned you about living in sin. He's warned you of sin's consequences. And it's old hat. We don't do it that way anymore. Man, tell me again. Sin is not what it used to be. Sure, everything has changed. Noah's fear when God said a flood was coming and the old man had never seen a rain, he believed it. Look at the next one. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out not knowing where he went. Boy, I'm sure he was a Baptist. Most of them know where they're going, do they, Brother David? God calls Abraham, a pagan, out of the land of Chaldee, and he gathers up all his goods. He goes to the bank and withdraws his assets, and the banker says, where are you going? He said, I don't have a clue. All I know is God told me to go. Abraham moved out when God called him. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about having a hunch. I'm not talking about you saw a vision or lightning appeared in the bedroom. I'm talking about a real call from God. A call that makes a man and his wife stay 37 years in the same Baptist church. That kind of call. And a man who'll do that is either called of God or nuts. One of the two, isn't he? Amen? And he's sure not the latter. You see, I don't have time. We can skate right down through this chapter. Old Abraham. You ever notice down there a bit later in verse 11 somewhere down there where it says he looked for a city? You see, Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. Think. 2,000 years before. And when the Pharisees were eating Christ alive, he said, "You guys don't know anything," in John 8:58. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced when he saw it. Abraham looked for a city. 2,000 years before Christ came to die. And I hear these jerks talking about Old Testament people weren't saved. Are you nuts? Give that back to Scofield on page 1115, where he says nobody under the Old Testament was saved unless they were saved by the law, and nobody was really saved till Jesus died on the cross. That's nonsense. Hebrews 11 starts with Abel, the first child, and he was saved by faith. You got it? And it runs right across the Old Testament 3,000 years later by faith. What are you going to leave behind? Can I run the road of guess with you? Do you know what some of you sitting here, maybe hundreds of you, you know what you're going to leave behind? You're going to leave behind the testimony to your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and your understanding neighbors. You're going to leave behind the testimony that you were a deadbeat, lousy Christian church member. How can you do it? Are you unbalanced? You're going to leave that behind? The hardships of life? Tell me about them. Life is filled with calamities and disasters and unspeakable tragedies. But over them all, God has hung a rainbow of hope. And it reads, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin." And that rainbow never ends. Some of you, when eternity knocks at your door and the body takes your grave for the worms and your soul steps through the door of eternity. Did you know eternity is just mentioned one time in the Bible? Isaiah 57, because there's just one of them. And when the grave takes your body and eternity takes your soul, then what? Oh, I know. You got it all figured out. Look, don't be a fool. Old America today, brother, she has been so conditioned and sensitized by these so-called conservatives who are right on their politics. And then O'Reilly says Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He's a philosopher. That man is a blasphemer. Jesus Christ is not a philosopher. He's the Son of the living God who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Of course, some of you are so stupid you'd never know the difference. And that's where we are today. We get all hot to go about those things. And neighbors dying, children dying, loved ones dying. Listen, right now I'm hanging my portrait in my memories of all of you, or some of you. This man and woman have hung theirs. What are you hanging? Young husband? I saw a man take his little boy out a moment ago. I remembered when Mom used to take ours out. Now they're taking us out. Right? You know? Comes around again, don't it? You see, it's passing. This great service, we're together and we're telling them we love them. It'll be a memory hug. Young man, young woman, every night you lay in your bed, that day is gone forever. And you can never call it back again. What's done is done, and what's undone is undone. Oh, what will you leave behind? Why don't some of you leave behind the memorial that you came to Jesus Christ? You didn't walk with a sign, the end is near. You came to Jesus Christ in a service as this. And with all the mess-ups and blowouts and flat tires and disappointments of the past, there are the past, you're making a new start. Will God give me another chance? The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Second time. That means it had come the first time. And the door is open for you. Now is the time. You mustn't wait until they wear their shoes off knocking on your door. Use your mind. If the building broke out in fire and the ceiling began to crash, would you sit and pray, I'm going to think about getting out? Why, we'd stampede. It'd be a massacre getting out of here. Let me tell you, eternity and hell or heaven are more real than that exaggerated possibility. Oh, people, wake up. Young people, wake up. Some of you old people can't hardly go anymore. Wake up. There's nothing as bad and disgusting as a mean, dirty old man and woman who says they're a Christian. I mean dirty. There's nothing as repulsive as old people, bent with age, white, wrinkled with time, and they're mean and vicious on the inside. And some of you are sitting here this morning like that. Don't die with that. Get help. The prophet said, help, O Lord. Vain is the help of men. That's the extreme position. And God is ready, willing, and able. What are you going to leave behind? That you're a cool cat down at the work? You hung up the best photographs? All the guys know you tune in on the latest rich joke. What are you going to leave behind? Some men, David and Bernice, some people leave behind their memorials in concrete, in marble, in stone, in neon lights, on paper. David, you and Bernice have left yours in the lives of thousands. Your memorial has been engraved in the souls of thousands. You won't remember. We were on furlough 30 years ago or more, living down the road. You can tell this is a long time. I was out front sitting on the top of a ditch. I got out there and got up and down, pulling weeds. And I looked up, and here comes, well, he's not handsome anymore. Here comes a handsome young man. I mean, you like me, Dave. We look like a wreck going somewhere to happen, I'm telling you. Here comes this handsome young man down the road with that brown suit on and a Bible. And I looked up, I thought, he's a preacher for sure. And he comes up and begins to talk, and how do you won't remember David, probably. And we talked for a little while. I told him what we're doing. He said, well, that's great. Come and visit us sometime. And David, you came over there, laid your hand on my head, prayed for me. Bernice, you were in Greenville Tech sewing. That little lady there was close to you. Years ago. And Mom came home and said, well, I don't know who that woman is, but she's not ashamed of Christ in the sewing class. It's good, Dave. This is sort of your last service. And probably it's ours in Tanglewood too. I don't think we can make it anymore. Isn't it wonderful to sort of close this chapter and look back on good memories by faith? Don't you want to join this little group? Back in the old days, and I'm not living there, but they sure don't match out today. Back in the old days, you could preach and people would jump up in the middle of the meeting and say, "Preacher, stop, help, help, I want to be saved right now. Help." Back in the old days, I've seen them run, right in the middle of the sermon, run down the aisle, just hit the floor like a mule, run down. Because the horror of hell and the terror of sin and the need for Jesus Christ and the not being right before God loomed over them like a big black cloud. And they wanted help. What will you leave behind? David and Bernice, Mom and I salute you for all these years of faithful service. Tanglewood Church, we salute you. Years ago, when missionary Sid Hunter fell dead in his backyard in Australia, and over there you don't have the money, they don't bury the dead. And his wife phoned and said, "Brother Randy, I don't have anything to bury him with." I sent out an emergency letter, and the first church that responded was Tanglewood. Now, Tanglewood, in the days ahead, you got some deep waters. You got some conflict. You got some storms coming ahead. By faith, your name. By faith, your church's name. Move forward. And as we old-timers step off the scene, who'll take the torch? Who'll take the torch? Who'll take Mom's place? My place? Bernice's place? Pastor's place? What will you leave behind? Thank you. Let's stand and have prayer, shall we? Here's what we want to do this morning, just while our heads are bowed. Somebody asked me, what do you ask people to bow their heads for? To draw attention in. I mean, if you look around, you'll probably be distracted in thought line. What we're going to do in just a moment, I'm going to ask the musicians to play just one verse. And if there is a chorus of whatever's been selected without singing. And if there's anybody here and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you want help and you're tired of playing pool with eternal things and you want help, or you just want to make a new start, what better time to make it? If you're lost and without Christ and you just can't come down, I've seen this overseas, if you'll raise your hand and wave at me, I'll send somebody to you. I've seen it overseas many times, couldn't move. If you need help and just can't move, give me a signal, but most of you can. And as they play, we're going to wait through one verse, and of course, if there is one, and then I'm through. All right, musicians, play. What will you leave behind? Let's bow. I want to pray one more time and turn it over to our director here. Let's pray. Father, we are going to be pushed out of this building in a moment. Whenever David and Bernice, like we remember Wesley did, will step out and the chapter's closed. And we can't make people. We don't, God forbid, we put carnal pressure on men. If the Holy Spirit can't deal and people can't obey, Lord, we don't want them. And I pray that you'd take just the memory of this occasion, of this grand conclusion to a glorious ministry among wonderful people, and that you'd keep everybody asking, tonight asleep, thinking, waking, working, what am I going to leave behind when I'm gone? Thank you, Lord. In His wonderful name, amen.